You know, folks, these people are real people. They're not actors. They have real lives. They had a different life. May not have been criminal, may not have been bad, but selfish on some level, self-centered on a lot of levels. And God came and changed their lives. Every one of us, at some point in time, has got a cardboard box to hold up. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, we're going to review real quick. Understanding in this study in the book of Revelation, we're at the point where we're talking about the 7-year tribulation period that you and I, who are Christ-centered, Christian, wonderful people who have been saved and been forgiven, will never see. Understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. But in order to understand, the book of Revelation, 3/4 of it talks about the 7 years called tribulation. And in it, we have to understand, folks, those people who are left behind are going to see some of the most terrific, worst of the worst of what this world has ever been a part of. You think that this world is hell now, you haven't seen anything to when the church is removed from this world. In the church, I mean you and I, not this building, but those of us in this, we are the church that are born again. Everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, in this, we're going to look real quick. Chapter 6 is nothing but an outline of the rest of the book of Revelation. So, I don't have to go through the whole entire book, because you have the outline in chapter 6. We saw the first 6 or 7, 8 verses last week. We'll review them real quick, and then we're going to finish up this chapter 6. But while we're in this study, Revelations 1:3, say it with me. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for what? The time is at hand. You believe it's at hand? Say amen.
Amen.
You better believe it is. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. In review, these angels let these four horsemen come by one at a time. I explained this to you last week. They're different colors, represent different times that will happen during the tribulation period. In review, and I saw, and when the Lamb opened one of the 7 seals, and I heard of the 4 living creatures saying, as with the voice of thunder, come. Basically, if John is standing here, the angels beside him, the horses are coming his way, he points to the horses and says, come back. The horses will come by one at a time, and that's what John is seeing. You get the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
Alright, here we go. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat upon it had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. In review, of course, Jesus is coming back on what?
White horse.
That's right. So this is the Antichrist. He wants to try it first. After the rapture of the church, as I said last week, you cannot imagine what kind of condition this world's going to be in. You're going to have family. You're going to have friends. You're going to have people within the blink of an eye that's going to leave this planet. You're going to have crashes everywhere. You're going to have automobile accidents. You're going to have plane crashes. You're going to have all kinds of things that's going to happen, because in the blink of an eye, this world's going to change. It's going to change fast. You can only imagine what kind of disasters are going to be around this globe when this happens. So it's going to take somebody that's going to come along and say, hey, 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 calm down. I'm going to straighten this mess out. Sort of like the season we're in right now with all the politicians that are running next year. They got an answer for everything. All I hope and pray is that they're praying people, because if they're not praying people, they ain't going to have an answer to nothing. Okay?
Amen.
Just keep that in mind. But it's sort of that same concept. He's going to come to the forefront. Now, he's going to be on a white horse, and it says he's going to have a bow. Now, I said last week, you can't do nothing with a bow unless you have an arrow. Someone comes up with a bow, I wouldn't be too scared. Now, they may defeat you with the bow, but they're not going to kill you with a bow. It's when they put the arrow in their hand to come shoot you, then you got a different situation. So the first 3.5 years, as we well know in this study, he's going to come across a little bit like a nice kind of guy. He's going to get everybody's attention. He's going to form everybody together around the world. So he's going to be the white knight, if you will, not yet ready to show his true colors, if you will. That's why it says he comes forth conquering, and then he's going to conquer. Conquering means he's going to come across. He's going to be very nice, and he's going to win everybody over. That's what the first conqueror here means. He's going to win everybody over. And then the party's going to start. Here we go. And when he opened the second seal, he heard the second living creature saying, "Come." Okay, right here. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him now a great sword. Real quick. All this means the next stage is taking place. The last 3.5 years of this tribulation time is going to be horrible. Red horse, blood, the attack on Israel, trying to demolish Israel. All of this is going to take place right in this last 3.5 years. Keep that in mind. When he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature saying, "Come," and I saw, behold, black horse. And he that sat upon it had a balance in his hand. Okay. And I heard as it were a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A measure of wheat for a shilling, and 3 measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil and wine hurt not thou." Now, I explained this last week. I can't take a lot of time here because I want to get into what I'm talking about today. I understand, folks, when we get into talking about the mark of the beast, 666. Okay? If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to go into any store across this land and buy anything. They're going to ask you to see that mark. Okay? If you don't take it, what's going to happen if you can't buy food? You're going to starve. Now, here's going to be the deal. Let's say that you go to any grocery store and you see people going in now, they're coming out with all kinds of food and you're starving to death. You can't get in the door, you don't have the mark. Well, this and the oil and the wine hurt thou not. You see this? I explained this last week. I've had no time to have any questions about this. Basically, in Jesus' day, the oil and wine was very important. Wine was the drink of the day. I mean, they didn't have purification of water and all that. Wine was the drink, okay? Oil was used to make and to make all kinds of stuff. What happens is every store has a storefront in it that tries to entice you to come in. You're sitting there starving, and he's going to put the oil and the wine right there in the very front of you. See, to do what? Entice you. Entice you. Come on. Denounce God. Take the mark. Come in here and eat. Come in here and get the best of the best. Or stay up there and starve for all I care. It's up to you. He's going to put the best of the best. Now, Rick, I hate that. I used this as an illustration last time, but I'll just share it again because you'll understand this. Every car dealership on this planet puts usually their best cars in what's called a showroom. They want you to come in there. They want you to see the Corvettes. They want you to see the stuff that's up there. You know, they may have a cheapie in there too, but let me tell you something. They're polished. The tires are done. The inside is done. If it's a convertible, the top is down. They want you to come in and see these. Why? Because it's the best of what they have to offer. They're in business of selling. Well, this is the same concept. Satan is trying to tempt you. Take the bark and come in. Or stay out there and starve. Everybody get the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a living creature saying, "Come." All right, Larry. And I saw and beheld a pale horse. He that sat upon it, his name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And there was given unto him authority over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, famine, starving, and with death, and by the wild beast of the earth. Fourth horse. The last months days of the seven-year tribulation, people are going to be dying everywhere because he's going to search it out. He's going to kill you. You're going to have to die if you believe in God. Now, there will be some people that will survive, and I said this last week, and we'll talk more about them later on. But understand, folks, at this point in time, people are going to have to die if they believe in God. Because he's going to hate you. He's going to come after you. He's going to search you down. See, today we have the freedom to come in this church. We have the freedom to come in here and worship. We have the freedom to walk this aisle and accept Jesus Christ. That day you're going to have to run to Jesus and get out of this man's sight because he will hunt you down. Wouldn't it be much better? I mean, common sense to me. To accept Jesus today, live for him today, secure your home in heaven so you don't have to be a part of this? This means yes. Huh? Wouldn't it be? You go over to him with love in your house. I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a great voice, saying, "How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth?" Larry, let's go to the next page. And there was given them each one a white robe. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, until their fellow servants also, and their brother, who should be killed, even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. These people that are going to be killed by the Antichrist. Let me start off and say this. If someone does something to you and really hurts you, first thing you want to do is what? Give back. You want to pay back, okay? They come at you, they hurt you, they talk bad about you. They do something. I mean, human nature is, I don't know, they're not going to get away with that. No, 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 no. Understand that? Well, these people have literally have been killed. And it's like John sees him trying to say, "God, listen, go and destroy them now. They killed me. They killed my mother. They killed my children. How about destroying them right now? Take them out. Destroy them." Here's what he said. He said, "Don't worry about it. I'm in control. When the time is right, I promise you, I will destroy Satan and his people right where they sit, right where they stand. But I'm going to do it on my time." That's a lot of fancy stuff up there, but this is what this means. Folks, we have to understand, God's got his timing in our life. There's a lot of time until we want to be healed now. Okay? We pray for things, and when it don't exactly happen, then we wonder why, and we question. And I understand this is human nature, but we have to understand, the more that I grow in Christ, the more I understand something this. When I don't understand something is when my faith needs to grow, because it's sometimes not up to me to understand everything in life. I don't know why things happen. I don't understand that. I don't know why I'm on dialysis. I don't know why things have happened. All I know is God still allowed me to stand and preach his word. And really, that's the most important thing I can do. Okay, that's all I know. I don't know why. One of these days, I ain't going to worry about it. I ain't going to have no tubes in me. I ain't going to, you know, and I hope that I am some skinny stud. I've had to deal with weight issues all my life. You know, and I just hope God gives me this wonderful body. Understand? You understand, Coach Carl?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. You know, but what I got is what I got. What it is what it is. All I can do is live for God the best I can. Nobody here perfect. Nobody here perfect in any way, shape, or form. Everybody's got issues. But understand, God loves you no matter how much you weigh, the color of your skin, the gender, who you are, what you are, long hair, short hair, don't matter. I don't care what your past is. God loves you. Send his son Jesus for you. And if you believe in him, your life will change. And whatever issues you have here on this earth, I promise you, one day, those issues will not come into play forever and ever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
step on. But when Jesus comes, he will take care of this planet. If he wants the mountains to move, he'll move. If he wants something moved, he'll move. If he wants the oceans moved, he'll move. I mean, he's like an architect. He can just go and do whatever he wants to do. And when this happens, the people that are left here, some of them, when we come to this battle of Armageddon, and how bad this is going to be, they're going to run from every direction to try to hide. If they can even hide from the Antichrist, they're not going to be able to hide from God. Understand something, folks. You cannot hide from God. I don't care where you run. I don't care if you're in darkness. I don't care what part of this planet you go. You can run from your problems. You can run to your problems. You can go wherever. I don't care where you go on this planet. God knows where you are at.
Amen.
You need to get it right with him now. Square it up now with him. Say, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. That's all you got to do. This is not real math here. This is not real rocket science here. All you got to do is simply say, Jesus, I am a sinner. Will you forgive me? He will do it and say, listen, from here on out, I'm going to try to live for you, Lord. Give me strength. Guide me. Convict me when I do wrong. I will truly do my best to live for you. Be honest with me. You know, you're not going to be some type of perfect Christian for a while. Neither will you ever be a perfect Christian on this side of the rapture. But all he asks is that you acknowledge him, that you try, you watch what you do, watch where you go, watch what you say, because the greatest witnesses on the planet are in this auditorium right now. Because that's the only calling that you and I are rooting to and have in life, is to live for him every day. It don't mean you have to walk around with a big Bible, 20-pound cross. You didn't bring attention to all that. You don't have to do that. It's how you treat people. It's how you talk. It's how you walk. They're going to know whether there's something different about you. And you don't even have to go in and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Sooner or later, they may ask you. If they see something in you that's different, that's when you have your opportunity. Now, let me tell you, when the best time to be a witness is when your life falls apart. We all wonder sometimes, why does my life things happen to me? It's because, folks, that's when I need God the most.
Amen.
And when I ride that out, God leaves me standing. I can say I'm standing today for one reason. One reason why. Not because anything about me. It's because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Give a little air. Really what this is in the Greek is nobody will be able to stand. Right now, I can receive the grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ. If I don't accept it in this lifetime, then I'm going to face the wrath. I have my choice. You have your choice even as you sit right here today. Those of you watching me later, that you have your choice no matter where you're at. Understand the choice that you have. Either you accept God's grace, or one day you're going to receive his wrath. I don't know how to make it any more simple than that. And this is what this whole book of Revelation, it's not a real hard book to understand. You just have to understand, if you're left behind one day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes, this is what you're going to face. This is what's going to happen to you. Why in the world anybody in his right mind would want to go through? And this is just an outline. When I preached this 2 years ago, I went verse by verse, page by page. You know what's going to happen during these 7 years. Why in the world would anybody in their right mind want to stand up and face this? I don't understand it. But I know one thing. I stand today by God's grace. That's all I want. But I believe that one day I'm not going to have to see you with this. I'm going to be from my Lord. And if I leave this world before the trumpet sounds, my spirit's going to be with him. Either way, I am a winner because Jesus Christ loved me. You have a choice. Those who watch me by internet, you have a choice. Please, with everything that's in me, make the choice. God is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand of applause. Precious and holy name of Jesus. I feel your grace this hour. Lord, we feel your presence that's in this room. Father, there's a lot of people that are hurting. There's a lot of people confused. A lot of people just trying to get through life without having so much trouble. Father, they need you today. May they feel that today. If there be anyone within the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ, and especially if you're watching me by internet today, understand one thing. No matter where you're at, you can be in daylight, you can be in darkness, you can be free or you can be jailed, but all you've got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I am a sinner. And I want to be saved. Please forgive me. He will forgive you right where you're at, no matter what you've done in your past. And he will make a new creature out of you. The old things have passed away. Those in this congregation understand. Jesus is here. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. We're going to invite you to come. Thank you for this church and what it stands for. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come? I'm here to pray with you or help you in any way. Would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you.